Our next guest had joined us leading up to the season, does a terrific job covering Oregon State football for the Oregonian, a grad of the prestigious Cronkite School of Journalism at Arizona State. Catch her work, OregonLive.com. Follow on Twitter. Enjoy her knowledge, wit, and humor. We welcome back Gina Mizell. Gina, how are you?
I'm doing great, Steve. How are you?
All right. Sorry we were a tad tardy. We obviously, with some of the news around here, have people not losing their minds, but contemplating losing their minds. Obviously, you're on social media, your blog, the articles you write, emails. You hear, I'm sure, from a lot of fans and Beaver supporters. Any truth to the rumor you've had to talk people down from the ledge? Because it's been a little shaky the last couple weeks.
Yeah, I mean, this is really the first time that I've seen people sort of jump off the Gary Anderson bandwagon. I think most fans still understand that this is a process and that it's going to take a few years to rebuild this program, but this is really the first time that I've seen multiple people kind of say, hey, we're not seeing progress, or hey, maybe we've regressed in certain areas. So, yeah, I think it's been really interesting just because I think, again, most rational fans knew that this would still be a tough season, but the heat's been turned up a little bit, not on Gary Anderson, like, officially, but just as far as fan anger, you know, so to speak, or fan frustration. So, yeah, I've definitely noticed it, too, and it sounds like you have as well.
Oh, sure. Rational fans. There are a dime a dozen. The quarterback situation up there against both Boise State last week to Colorado, they went to the bullpen for the freshman walk-on Connor Blount to replace Garrettson. He struggled big time. So what did Coach Anderson have to say about the position and what we can expect with Cal coming to Corvallis Saturday night?
Yeah, well, it was interesting because after the game, I asked Gary Anderson just how he would foresee that moving forward, and he wouldn't commit to either one of them. He said it would be in evaluation mode, and so then during Monday's press conference, he was obviously asked about it again, and he said there's no change in the depth chart that Daryl Garrettson is our starting quarterback. So that was kind of the breaking news, I guess, out of the press conference. But then I had a chance to talk to Kevin McGivin today. He's the co-offensive coordinator and quarterbacks coach, and sort of said, all right, what happened between Saturday afternoon and Monday afternoon? And obviously they had watched a lot of film. They between that and sort of just the discussions between both quarterbacks and the coaches, they obviously kind of believe in Daryl Garrettson's experience and overall knowledge of the offense. And so they still believe he has the best chance to win. But Connor Blount obviously has gotten some game experience in the last two contests, and they also believe that that'll benefit him down the line as his career moves forward. But you know, Daryl Garrettson will be the first to say that he hasn't been happy with the way he's played the last couple of weeks, but they still believe he's the best option right now heading into Cal.
How about we have Prukop start for Oregon State and Blount can start for the Ducks? We'll see how that works out.
let's do like a trade or something like that. Yeah, that would be interesting.
the rare college trade. Let's go back to a year ago. Left tackle Sean Harlow left the field against Colorado, and ironically he made his return last week against Colorado. The line's mm-hmm. been troublesome, but how did he hold up game one, and you know, I guess what kind of a jolt was it to at least get their senior back?
Obviously Sean Harlow is a guy that's experienced, and even though he felt like he was pretty rusty coming back and made a couple key mistakes, he's going to boost that offensive line for sure. But that's not the only change that Oregon State made in that Colorado game up front. You had Gavin Andrews moving from right guard to center. You had Dustin Stanton moving from right tackle to right guard. You had Blake Brandel switching from left tackle to right tackle. And then another crazy curveball came in when Fred Lauina, who plays left guard, the only guy that was in his original spot that he had played the first three games, he went down with an ankle injury early on in that game, and freshman Gus Lavaca had to come in and fill in at left guard. So they've made tons of changes up front, and actually I talked to TJ Woods today. He said that he felt that's the best the offensive line has played as a whole so far this season. Now, they still gave up four sacks, so that's still an issue, and they realize they still have a long way to go and still don't have a lot of depth up front. But like I said, Sean Harlow certainly boosts that unit, and they believe that maybe maybe they found the right combination after a couple games of rough play.
Now, I read your 28 observations piece, obviously not at a loss for ideas. Number 12, Seth Collins, who is probably their top weapon, had an interesting game. Kind of reiterate what you had to say about, A, his productivity, but he was a little frustrated and needed a little talking to after.
Yeah, I mean, obviously he's had a really nice start to the season as far as just here's a guy who was playing quarterback this time last year and has really shown some nice potential at receiver. I think he was, you know, their most consistent playmaker on offense on Saturday against the Buffaloes and probably their most consistent playmaker on offense all season when you look at all four games. So, you know, he made a couple of nice catches, did kind of a nice little front flip hurdle thing. He's always looking to try to, you know, juke out a defender, make a play in space. But then late in the ball game, he got called for an unsportsmanlike penalty and you know, went off to the sideline, and Brent Brennan had to give him a little bit of a talking to, like you alluded to. So he's got that fiery personality, and Gary Anderson mentioned that again in his press conference yesterday, that he likes that Collins is edgy and that he does have that fierce competitiveness, but he's got to, you know, at some point it can be destructive and it can be something that is harmful to the team. And so, you know, a 15-yard penalty in a blowout game, not really going to hurt you, but what if that happens in a close game on a key drive or something like that? That could really be harmful down the line. So I'm sure it's a tough, you know, it's a tough line to try to straddle between, you know, you want that fiery competitiveness, but also you don't want it to be too much. So as Collins continues to mature, as he continues to go through the process, you know, hopefully he'll find that emotional balance.
I want to get to Beaver Banter, which you all can find on the site or Gina's Twitter feed with Danny Moran. And this week your guest was the punter, Nick Perebski, who's an Aussie. And as you mentioned, he was one of the player reps at Pac-12 Media Day, a very interesting story. What did he have to say about his path from Melbourne to junior college to Corvallis and maybe how it almost didn't happen?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he was playing Australian rules football, and he had a shoulder injury when he was in high school, and that basically is what then turned him on to American football and learning how to punt and kick. And there's a group out there called Pro Kick Australia, where that's where, you know, Tom Hackett, the old Utah punter that
right.
was so great, that's where he came from. And Nick was saying how when he first started a few years ago, it was still a pretty small organization, but that now it's gotten bigger and bigger and bigger. And obviously, you know, Cal and Hawaii played in Sydney this year, and so just the game in Australia is really starting to grow. And so he said there's about 15 guys that can kick and punt that are probably ready to come over to America and play. So we'll see if that ends up being something that a lot of teams have an Aussie as their kicker or their punter or something like that. So, but yeah, he was a really, really fun interview. Obviously, an interesting backstory, and he basically helped me plan out a 2-week vacation through Australia that I, you know, have no money to take right now and no time to take, but maybe someday. So it was a really fun conversation.
Well, at least you have a connection.
Exactly.
Final thought for Gina Mizell, looking ahead to Cal at home off that last performance facing the Bear Raid. The piece you posted yesterday, what did Coach Anderson have to say about what they need to do to kind of slow them down or what challenges they face, especially with injured guys in the secondary to the troubles they've had getting to the quarterback?
Yeah, I mean, all of that is going to be important, obviously. And you know, you look at that Colorado game and there were the long pass plays, and that's sort of what the average person's going to look at and say, wow, look at those secondary breakdowns. And true, there were breakdowns and also numerous injuries with Dwayne Williams going down and then Jay Irvine, his replacement, going down. So they really had to dip into a thin lineup to try to, you know, fill that void. But the pass rush was not there at all against Colorado and has not been there for most of the season. So Oregon State did not have a sack against Colorado, only one tackle for loss. And so, as they say, it all starts up front, right? And so Davis Webb, if he has time to throw, I think he's going to pick apart the secondary. And he's got a great receiver in Chad Hansen and a great receiving core overall, a lot of talented guys, even though they lost their top six targets from a year ago. So, Oregon State's going to have to put together a really solid defensive performance to slow this offense down. And, you know, they haven't shown too many many signs that they can do that so far this season, but hey, maybe this is the week it flips. But yeah, they got to get pressure and they got to be able to you know, contain those receivers and that passing game.
She is Gina Mizell, wired into OSU football. Soon she may be earning her football fan therapist degree. You could follow what she does online, OregonLive.com, on Twitter at Gina Mizell. Always great having you on. Much appreciate your time. And of course, we look forward to catching up with you down the road.
All right. Thanks, Steve. Appreciate it.
All right. Take it easy.